IL Women Podcast, the source of her sport.
Welcome to Shooting Space, my podcast where I talk to amazing people in the sport of lacrosse about how they got their start, what they're up to now, and what they love about the game. Today, we have a very special guest. We've got Britta Brown, the Senior Director of Basketball Administration for the Detroit Pistons. Britta, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. I know when you reached out, I was like, duh, no brainer. Let's go. Whatever you need. So I'm happy to be here and look forward to chopping it up for a little bit.
Awesome. So before we dig into the Pistons and the season and all the amazing stuff that you're doing now, can you tell me a little bit about how you started playing lacrosse, where you're from?
For sure. So I grew up in Baltimore, lived there my whole life. Once I was going to sixth grade, my mom was looking for me to transition into going to private school. And so once I kind of went through that process, ended up enrolling at Garrison Forest School in sixth grade. And when I got to sixth grade, growing up, I was kind of always like, I guess, one of the boys and loved sports, but never was really in organized sports, but I always just played around with whatever I could. And so once I got to sixth grade, my friends were playing sports at Garrison. And so that's when I was first introduced to lacrosse. I had no idea about lacrosse, never seen anybody play lacrosse. So when they were all saying they were going to go out for the lacrosse team in sixth grade, I was kind of like, what are you talking about? I have no idea what that is, but you're my friends and it must be cool. So let me try it. Yep. So I went out there and to be honest, I had no idea what I was doing. Knew nothing about the game, but quickly fell in love with it. I was always a natural athlete. And so I think just with those kind of natural athletic abilities, I was able to put it with the lacrosse and, you know, continue to develop my skills. So from sixth grade on, I continue to play and then through college.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah, that's how it started for me too. I played field hockey in ninth grade and my friend said, you know, oh, we're playing lacrosse to stay in shape. And I'm like, lacrosse? I have never seen that. I don't know what it is, but I will be there. And all of a sudden it's the main focus of my life now.
For sure. It's crazy how it happens that way. I mean, I remember when I first started playing, I think it was in middle school. Yeah. One of my friend's mom like gave me one of her old sticks and was like, well, just try this one. Cause I mean, my mom didn't know. So my family just went and got like a Woody, thinking like, oh, that's what you get when you're a beginner. And then I was like, ah, this old stick. And like ever since then, it was like, oh, this is a lot easier.
Right. You're like, yeah, my stick weighs 50 pounds. So
yeah, exactly.
They're with me as I try to catch.
How did y'all get those ground balls like that? I don't know.
But do you play other sports, including lacrosse, or was lacrosse kind of your main sport?
So I did. I actually, starting in sixth grade, I did field hockey, basketball, and lacrosse and continued all three through high school until I got to college and just did lacrosse.
Yeah, so you were busy.
Very active. And then for some crazy reason, once I got to high school, I was like, oh, and let me just throw track and field in there. So I did that outside of, my sport at school. So I did that in an outside club team, but I quickly let that go because I realized I didn't want to go to lacrosse practice and then go run at track practice.
Right. So. Yep. Just track all throughout. So how did you get recruited to play at North Carolina?
Yeah. So at the time, I can't even remember what these tournaments are called, but I know I was playing in a summer tournament and the Carolina staff was attending that tournament. And so to be completely honest, I was, I think one of two, one other being my now best friend, one of two black girls at the tournament. And so I don't think it was very hard to figure out who my parent was. I think just in doing that, they had some interest in me. And then back then, you had to wait until calling day. And so once kind of calling day came in July, Carolina had reached out and asked if I would be interested in going there. And then that's kind of where I began the process and visited campus and visit with the team and, of course, fell in love with Carolina. I am through and through a Tar Heel and I love that place and will love it until I die. So,
awesome. That's the dream, right? Like we're at the tournament, we're living our best lives. Somebody sees us, we get recruited. And I mean, that's such a great, opportunity to get to attend North Carolina.
Aside from interesting. Yeah, no, it's interesting because I, you know, I was a late bloomer just in terms of like the college process and recruiting. You know, I didn't have anyone in my family who had played lacrosse in college, and really not anyone at the time who was an athlete in college. So navigating that process, I just had no idea. And, you know, to be able to get recruited just from, because I started playing, when I played in that tournament, I played with Skywalkers. And so I had just played one summer with them, or this was the summer that I was playing with them, and then had the opportunity to go and get recruited. So I'm forever grateful even to Skywalkers for having me on there, because just that being able to play in that summer has just changed the trajectory of my life. So.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's always great, you know, and I ask those questions about recruiting because I understand that a lot of times the stories that come out are the, you know, the sixth grader that's gotten recruited, or, you know, the fourth grader, fifth grader that's gotten recruited. But I love to be able to say, like, check this out. You know, someone got recruited, quote unquote, later, but they still had an amazing career, still had an amazing time in college. So I always love to slip that in there to be like, wherever you end up, it's all going to work out. It's all good. You know, what else attracted you to North Carolina outside of the opportunity to play lacrosse?
For sure. So I knew I didn't want to go anywhere cold. I did love the South. My family is primarily from North Carolina. So I kind of had known the state of North Carolina, not so much the Triangle area, but knew that the South kind of probably would be a good spot for me. I never wanted to go to school at home, so I knew I would never go to school in Maryland. I kind of had told my mom that from the beginning, and I'm an only child. So of course that was very hard for her, but, so really wanted to go somewhere that, you know, wasn't cold. I wanted to have a really good education, was looking at just diversity of campus, you know, and just kind of that all around experience. So I had a really good athletic program, had really great academics. And then, to be honest, I wasn't even thinking about Carolina at the time because, you know, Carolina is like a dream school for people, you know, especially when you're getting recruited in sports. And so that didn't even cross my mind, to be completely honest. So when they reached out to me, I was kind of like, wait, what? Like me? But yeah.
I'm ready. Bags are packed. Let's go.
Sign me up. Where's the line?
What did you major in while you were there?
So I majored in econ. Why I did that, I have no idea. I knew I wanted to go to business school, and then I had started thinking about, well, do I really want to go to business school? And then kind of what would be the alternative after that? And then thought about journalism and going to the J school at Carolina, which was really great, but ultimately settled on econ. So,
yeah. Shout out to Amari Pollard, my co-host, who's at the journalism school there right now, crushing it.
Awesome.
So, you know, the part about picking the major is super interesting. So I studied computer science, but I am still heavily involved in sports, working now in tech, but love sports. And I feel like I'm kind of at this stage where I'm like, okay, I love both things and I don't want to have to pick one, and just trying to identify a way to maintain both. But it seems like in your current role, at least my interpretation of it, is you're still using those econ skills, maybe some of the skills that you learned in your program, but you're within something that you're passionate about in sports.
For sure. Yeah, I don't know if I'm necessarily using econ per se, but, you know, in my role, I'm still in, I guess you can call an office role. I work in our front office. So it's not like I'm out coaching or, you know, just on the road scouting. So like I'm really doing some fundamental day-to-day operational, tasks. And so I think kind of what you alluded to is what I love about my job is that I do get to be able to have this sports aspect where I'm around the team and game day and you know, being a part of us wanting to compete every day and every practice, every game. But then I'm also, you know, in the office looking at our budgets and looking at what we're spending and you know, working with the NBA office and being our liaison on a lot of reporting that we do with the NBA and working with the business side. You know, any marketing efforts that they have going on or, you know, looking at our finances. And then also I'm in the day-to-day of our scheduling and that kind of thing. So, you know, I think to some degree, maybe I use my economics degree. I mean, yeah, my economics degree, but I don't know if it's as specific in my role.
Gotcha. Because the big question that I have, and I think a couple people that I've told, you know, I was speaking to have is, how did you get there? Because they want to get there too. Like, we want to, you know, be where the fun resides, where the sports reside, but trying to navigate and identify the path to get there seems a little tough.
Sure. Yeah. So it's interesting. So when I graduated from college, you know, to be honest, I hadn't done any internships. I didn't have some job lined up. To be honest, I didn't even know what I wanted to do. Like, no idea. Like, I knew I loved sports. I knew I loved people. I knew that I wasn't really the type who wants to sit at a desk all day. So I kind of had what I like and didn't like, but I had no idea what those roles looked like. And so, you know, eventually after graduation, I worked at a nonprofit back home in Baltimore, and it didn't have anything related to sports, but it also helped with this other part of me that loves being able to give back and be in the community, and especially to be able to go back home to Baltimore after I was, you know, in college in North Carolina. And to be able to go back and work at this nonprofit was special for me because I went through this nonprofit when I was growing up, the Baltimore Educational Scholarship Trust. And, you know, I laugh about it all the time now. And I say this, I think, every time that I speak or any kind of interview engagements. And so, you know, the skills that I learned working at the nonprofit, whether it was like how to really use an Excel sheet, how to communicate with families, how to send, you know, an appropriate email, a business email, how to use a copy machine, a fax machine, like all these basic skills that seem so small actually were so big, and I didn't realize it at the time. So going into that nonprofit role, which wasn't a sports role, actually helped mold me professionally to start out. And then from there, I kind of could take a little bit of those skills. And then I saw that there was an opportunity where I was, so I had transitioned in from helping in the admissions office there into development and fundraising at the nonprofit. And so that was the first time when I'm learning the lingo and I'm learning about an annual fund and major gifts and kind of what a fundraising calendar year looks like. And I was helping plan events. So then I started to really be able to hone in on all of those skills. And from that, kind of, I saw the University of Maryland was hiring in their athletic department for a development assistant at the time. And so I was like, wait, I can use the skills I'm doing right now. Yeah. But in sports, like, this is amazing. Like, sign me up. Yeah, and so that's where kind of that transition came from, where not thinking about it at the time, like I was learning these fundamental skills of the nonprofit, not in sports.
Right.
And saw the job in sports and had and applied, and it was transferable, even though I hadn't been working in sports. So.
Yeah, no, that's great. And I think that's such a good example of how all the things that we do learn can really be transferable in so many ways. You know, if I'm reading something about how, you know, women or women of color might see a job description and say, oh, well, I don't feel all the qualifications, so I'm not going to apply. Whereas someone else might see it and in their mind, they're like, oh, I did XYZ at this place. That totally applies to this. I'm just going to apply. So I love that ideation of seeing the connection between the work you did at the nonprofit and how that translates into, you know, moving into the sports world.
For sure. Yeah. No, it's so true. And I feel like I still do that, you know, even in my position now, I'm like, well, I'm not qualified to do that. Wait, but then I have to take a step back and I'm like, wait a minute. Like, I've planned hundreds of events. Like, I've been involved with our external departments at every stop that I've been at, you know, whether it's working with the marketing team, tickets, the business office, the athletic director's office, the president's office. So, you know, it may not be the same exact thing, but you still gain these skills and they can be transferable into the next role. So you're absolutely right.
So at Maryland, as part of their development team, what kind of work were you doing there?
So when I first got there, I was the major gift assistant. So I was assisting our major gift officers, which essentially were the fundraisers who were out soliciting a bigger donation. So they could be going after a $50,000 donation or $25,000 donation. And so when they would be soliciting these gifts, or when we did receive gifts, or if we were even in the cultivation stage of trying to get a gift, really working with them on like, what can they be doing to help foster these relationships? Or, you know, if they want to do an event for a donor, I would plan that out. You know, I think one of my favorite in that position, we did a small donor dinner in one of the suites at the football stadium, overlooking the field. And it was for, you know, one of the major gift donors. And I want to say it was his family as well. And they had this small intimate dinner, but it was overlooking the field. And it was this great experience. And I think that was the first time that for me, I realized like I loved creating these experiences. And then I also loved the logistics and the operations piece of putting it all together. And so that's where I really started to work on a lot of kind of operations and logistics in that role, like within fundraising and assisting our major gift officers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really cool. And to see too the amount of work that goes into, you know, making it happen for student athletes, making it happen for athletes in general. I love the kind of behind the scenes, because I feel like we don't really get to see that often of what, you know, what's going on behind the scenes to make the games and the teams happen.
For sure. And just as a former student athlete, you know, you don't realize, I mean, you're like, oh, you know, I got a scholarship and I went to school, and, you know, all student athletes here is, yeah, you'll go to school for free, or you go to school on an 80% scholarship. But not realizing, you know, now when I got into the role, like, oh, this is exactly, you know, how it's happening. Like, we're soliciting funds, you know, to support student athlete scholarships and make it a reality for them to be able to play their respective sports at their schools. And so I think that was really fun for me to be able to take those skills, again, from the nonprofit that I wasn't even realizing I really needed to know, and then be able to transition them into the sports world and then helping student athletes, which, you know, those opportunities were provided to me. So it was really cool.
Yeah, no, I can relate to that. You know, the kind of full circle. I received a scholarship to go to Sewanee, and now being on the back end and helping other students apply for scholarships or helping them understand the scholarship process. And just the reflection of being like, oh, I can help someone else now. Like, I'm on the other side and I can help them too.
Right, for sure.
That's part. So how did you get on this role with the Pistons? How did you make it happen?
Yeah, so actually, prior to coming to the Pistons, I was at Eastern Michigan University as assistant athletic director for development there. And the role at the Pistons became open, and just from like mutual friends in the business, the role had opened. And so, of course, I mean, there were so many candidates that applied, you know, who have MBA experience and who already are MBA executives. And, you know, my name was able to be thrown in the mix to be considered. And to be honest, it was crazy that I was even considered in the beginning, because I remember when I first got a call, like, hey, would you be interested in this? I'm just from like mutual friend. And I was like, excuse me. Like, what do you mean? I know I'm like Britta, but I'm not like on that level. This is crazy. But yeah, no. So just again, like that whole networking piece. And, you know, I tell people all the time, like sometimes it's also important that you articulate what you like doing or what you want to be able to do or be involved in. You might not be able to necessarily articulate the exact job that you want, but if you know how to say, you know, I want to be able to be involved in these kind of tasks or this kind of role, you never know where those opportunities are. And for me, that's what happened. You know, I had, with us having like mutual friends in the business, like I had always said, you know, I do love like logistics and operations and kind of overseeing how everything fits together. And so with that, you know, when this came open and just in conversations, like, oh, like you should reach out to Britta. So.
Wow. That's amazing. And that made me think of the saying, like, closed mouths don't get fed. I don't love the saying, but I feel like it can definitely be applicable in some moments, because, you know, there's definitely been times when I interact with someone or I meet someone and, you know, they'll say, let me know if you need help with anything. And in my mind, I'm like, oh, I don't want to bother them. I don't want to tell them the whole spiel of what I want to do next. But then realizing, wait, that person genuinely wants to help you and can help you elevate into the step that you want to take, I think is like, that's such an important thing to realize.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, for some of us, again, to what you alluded to, you know, we get so afraid to ask for help or even to communicate about what we want. And it's okay to be able to have those conversations, because you just never know where they may lead to. Mm-hmm. And so I always encourage, especially women, you know, to be able to feel comfortable articulating what you want to be able to do. And it's also okay to articulate that you think you're ready for a leadership role as well. So, you know, just for women in general, I think it's important that we try not to diminish ourselves or to diminish what we want to be able to do.
Definitely retweet. That's the sum of the episode.
Let's go.
That's the mood forever. What was the interview process like? Because you mentioned there were other candidates that maybe had different levels of experience. So just curious, yeah, like what's the process to go through?
Yeah, sure. So after they initially reached out, I had kind of a series of interviews just with different people on their executive team. Mm-hmm. And then from there, you know, they kind of all got together and looked through, you know, all the interviews that they had and the candidates. And then they had reached back out to me. But, you know, I will say, like, even though having mutual friends and, you know, my name being thrown in, you know, mutual friends with our general manager, you know, it wasn't just a walk in the park. You know, I really had to prove myself. I had to prove why, not having MBA experience, why I still would be a viable candidate for the job. And, you know, even that alone can be intimidating. You know, to be completely honest, I am younger in the business. And so not only do I need to be able to articulate why I'm good enough, but also, you know, I'm younger. So I have to be able to explain how I can be in a leadership role and how I can still be able to, you know, command respect from my peers and colleagues. And, you know, it's not always easy. And so, you know, throughout the interview process, you know, you have to have this level of confidence, but also this level of humility, because, you know, it is going to be a learning process. And, you know, I was very honest about it. You know, I don't know everything. I haven't been in the NBA, but this is why my perspective of coming from college athletics also will be very beneficial in the NBA. So,
yeah. And, you know, I would ask, how do you deal with kind of the imposter syndrome, both in that interview process and even in your day to day when, you know, you see someone who maybe does have more experience or is older or, you know, has worked for this number of teams? How do you continue to remind yourself that you belong in that space?
Oh, girl, I have to remind myself every day. But, you know, I think you think about, well, for me, you know, I just don't think God would put me anywhere or in any situation that I wasn't ready for. And so, you know, my ready and his ready are probably totally different. And his plan is always greater than mine. And, you know, every day I just try to, I think the biggest thing I take on is like this responsibility that me coming into this role, like I don't see women who look like me in it. Right. And so for the longest, I never even thought about myself at the forefront of providing, hopefully, these opportunities to women after me. Yeah. And so now I've got to take this imposter syndrome away, because there's also like an army of girls behind me who want to be in this position and who want to be doing the same thing. And I hope that they'll be past where I am. And so I think every day, it's not only like, I just always think about, it's not about me. Like, it's never about me. It's always about, you know, God put me here to hopefully help the people around me be better, to help the Pistons be better, and then also to help the girls behind me be better so that they'll be able, you know, to fulfill dreams that they have that they don't think are possible, but they really are. So I think I always just try to remind myself of those things versus like making it specifically about me.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that selflessness, I think, just speaks to your leadership skills and, you know, just the precedent that you're setting. I was talking to Hallie Griggs about this and saying, you know, I didn't even, when I was coming up, I'm 24, I don't know what I'm talking about coming up, but as I was going through school, you know, I didn't know Hallie's job was available. I didn't know your job was available. I didn't know that these were spaces that women, Black women, that we could even aspire to fill. And so now being able to see people in those positions and thriving and then bringing others in, it's like, this is the dream, you know, this is the dream. Right. And I'm going to continue to expose other people to that you can have whatever dream you want and chase that.
Yeah. You know, I love that you say that, because one of the things that I, you know, just when I'm talking to just some of my friends in the business and just some of my friends and family in general, you know, I always talk about, you don't know what you don't know. And for me, like, I didn't even know my job was a job. Mm-hmm. Until this opportunity presented itself. And even now being a part of, you know, the Pistons and a professional basketball team, like I didn't even realize all the different areas of sports. You know, I come from the college athletics world where even once I got into college athletics, even though I was a student athlete, I was blown away that, you know, now, I mean, you have like a content department and someone who does social media and someone who just does videos and a business office and, you know, marketing and tickets and sponsorships and partnerships and premium seating, you know, and then you obviously can be like on a team or work with a team like in college. And, you know, it kind of translates into professional sports as well, where, you know, you do have like a marketing department and the business office and, you know, all the revenue generation area, excuse me. And then on the basketball side, I've got scouting and analytics and, you know, equipment, security, medical and performance. You know, I had no idea that all of this was out there. And so for me, I'm always trying to figure out, and that's why I appreciate you having me on here. I'm always trying to figure out how can we get that message out to, I mean, women especially, but to anyone, that there's so many possibilities, especially in the field of sports, no matter what you like doing. And so I think some people think, you know, you can be in a front-facing job, you can be more behind the scenes. Like, there's something for everyone if you still want to be able to work in sports. And for me, that's why it's so important to be able to do things like this, where I can just kind of get that messaging out there, that there's just so much that you can do, and you really don't know what you don't know until you're able to see or hear about it. So I try not to make my position so secretive.
Thank you. Yes, the veil is open. We're seeing behind the scenes. And I think that's one thing I really love about social media, is being able to connect with so many people and learn about so many things. Like, even, you know, I saw Twitter has a sports group now that works with athletes and help them use their platforms to reach their fans. And Instagram has the same. And, you know, like you mentioned, there's the seating departments, there's ticketing, there's, you know, fan experience, all these different parts of teams as well and organizations. And I wouldn't have known that without social media. I would just think, like, someone owns the team, there's the players, there's coaches, and it's a wrap. Like, that's all
exactly.
they have.
Exactly. No, it's so true. I mean, and even, you know, even I know with my social media, with my social media, you know, people are always like, wait, you go on the team plane? And to me, I don't even think about it. Like, but like, people are like, wait, you travel with the guys? And I'm like, yeah, that's how we get to the next city. But like, I don't. So, you know, I sometimes also have to take a step back and think about, like, this is an opportunity for me. Again, not about me, but like, because I didn't used to put a lot about, you know, within, and still I just do it to some degree. But I didn't used to put too much about like what we were doing. But then I realized like there was this education piece that I never even thought about. Well, and it was twofold. Like, there was this education piece about like, this is what, these are some of the things that I work on, or some of the things that I'm able to be involved in my role. And then, you know, it was the second piece of, you don't see a lot of people who look like me in this job. So if I don't, you know, show people or show myself being able to do it, then, you know, people don't know that it's possible. So again, it's kind of this, like, I say it all the time, like, this is just so much bigger than me. Like, I don't, like, this isn't about Britta. And so, like, even for, you know, when I try to share my story and share that, like, it's really just to inspire the people around me, so that hopefully I can leave some kind of lasting impression for people. So
absolutely. No, I'm already inspired. And I think, yeah, I saw one of the pictures you posted through traveling. I'm like, she gets to go on the plane, like, they're on the jet, they're on the way to the game, living the dream. But tell us more about your day-to-day, you know, whether it be traveling or going into the office, like, what's the role entail?
Yeah, so this is always the tricky question. But so overall, so like you said, I work as our senior director of basketball administration. And essentially, I oversee all of our operational logistics and administration and basketball operations. So the team is kind of, a lot of teams or professional teams split into two. You have like the business side and then the basketball side, which is, the basketball side is primarily like with the players and all the departments that help support the team on the court. So in my role, I essentially, in doing that, I will help with any of our major calendar events, like summer league, the draft, training camp. This year we were able to have an in-market bubble. So similar to the bubble they had in Orlando when they had the NBA playoffs, we could create that same exact model, but in Detroit. So I was the lead on creating this entire in-market bubble, from like the hotel to practice, trenches. But again, we have an amazing team at the Pistons. So I'm, of course, not doing all that alone. And I couldn't be more excited about having the people that I do around me to help pull all this off. So I definitely am not the one doing all of this by any means. So major events. So our day-to-day schedule, so whether it's practices, meetings, games, like anything for all of our staff or basketball operations, I'm usually coordinating that or making sure all of that is ready to go. Budget management. So any and everything that we pay for, I sign off on. So I do work with our finance department just in looking at budgeting and what we're spending money on. And then I do work a lot with the NBA office, so with the league office, on any reporting or anything that they may need. And we'll submit anything that we need to submit as it relates to basketball operations. And then I do work as a liaison with the business side. So working with basketball operations and business, so anything they may need with us. But really, like, essentially, I, you know, support our general manager and help him with the operations of the day-to-day.
That's amazing. Like, I'm just listening. I'm like, you are keeping the train moving. Like, you are making sure the train makes its stops with all, you know, the games and other teams and all the events, and but keeping the railroad clean, making sure everyone's getting where they need to go. That sounds like a big job. But like you said, team effort. Shout out to your team too. I'm thinking back to what we just talked about of not even realizing all of the components that go into the work that's done for a team, like just the breakdown of the day-to-day that you mentioned.
It's so true. Because like even going into the day-to-day, I mean, you know, if you look at what we have on the basketball operations side, so I mean, you have the players, you have coaches, we have a scouting department, an analytics department, equipment, team security, our medical and performance team, our video department. So like there's a lot of components that are actually behind the scenes making it all happen. And so, you know, we are truly blessed to have the group that we have. So
#blessed. Mm-hmm. And you know, you touched on the bubble aspect, especially with this past season. And I'm curious, what was that like, you know, having to be in this leadership position during a time that's like no other and trying to keep up with the demands, not only of the fans, but of just creating this team atmosphere and playing this season?
Absolutely. You know, it's a challenge and a responsibility like no other. You know, not only are you trying to make sure yourself is safe, but, you know, myself, along with our, you know, primarily our assistant general manager, and then our medical team are really in the day-to-day of making sure we're following the NBA protocol, so that we do have protocols that we have to, you know, stay aligned with and adhere to throughout the season. So making sure that we're following all of our protocols. You know, we have a COVID task force, so there is a small group of us that meets just to go over anything that we have or, you know, think of anything we need to address. You know, when we travel, travel logistics are very different. So, you know, instead of traveling with two buses, now it's four buses so that we can socially distance on a bus and, you know, not as many meals together, not in-person meetings, you know, for practice. If they need to watch film, we need to make sure we socially distance. Like all of those components are very different than a typical season. It's very different. And it's a challenge, but it's a responsibility. And, you know, it's one of those things where everyone always jokes, they're like, Britta, next year, or, you know, when we're not in these COVID protocols, like you're going to be like, oh my goodness, this is so easy.
How many years have you been in your role?
So I just came in August.
Okay. Yeah. Cause that's what I thought. So you're telling me you join in the midst of the madness and you make it happen. You make
it happen all the time. Like, this is the crazy thing that will happen to me is to find my dream job during a pandemic. but
you know what? I mean, it could have been the calling. It could have been where you needed to be. They needed you, found, you know, the dream job. They found you. And that's, you know, part of the success that they're having. But wow, I can't imagine being like, yes, the dream job, except half the world.
Dream job and COVID. So yeah, no, in everything that we do, you know, walking around the building, even to, you know, your office and desk and every single thing that we do. Like I always say I have like COVID radar for everything, but.
Hey, you know what? It'll come in handy even in quote unquote normal times, because you'll just be like ahead of the game every single time.
Yeah.
In the back of your mind. And during that crisis, we did XYZ and that was efficient. So we're just going to do it again. and something I'm wondering too is there's not many women in the front office in, you know, major sports. We're starting to see kind of that number increase, but really, like I said, you know, growing up for me, I didn't even know we really could be in these positions. What's your experience been like at the college level and now at the pro level with the NBA being a woman in a leadership position?
You know, I think sometimes I always, like when I go into it, I try not to think about myself as like this woman in sport or like I'm going into it as a woman, although I know I am. And you'll always hear me say women in sport forever. But, you know, I always just try to remind myself, you know, really like three things, like you're just as good as the boys. You know, I always remember to advocate for myself, because the guys will always advocate for themselves. They do a very good job of that. And as women, we need to work on that. And then the third thing is just like, I always just try to have fun. So like with those three, with those three things, that's really how like I approach the work and how I come in, you know.
Yeah.
I will say when I first came to the Pistons, like we laughed about it now, but you know, I remember on one of our first like senior director's calls, you know, we're like introducing things, I'm new. And, you know, I'm just like saying I'm British. I'm like, and I just want to be treated like one of the boys. Like, and that was like kind of how I like set the precedent, like from the beginning, like when I got there.
To do this job, get this money, don't play with me. Like,
yeah. So, I mean, and, you know, sometimes, I mean, I get it, you know, because at the same time, you want people to respect you and you want them to respect you as a woman. But I also don't want you to necessarily diminish the experience or change what we're doing or how we're operating or navigate differently because I'm a woman. Like, you know, you don't have to be like softer. Or like, you know, I mean, I've been playing sports my whole life. Like, I've been beating up on people forever. Like, it's okay. And so I think, you know, it's important to be able to set that precedent, and then also know that, you know, whether you want the responsibility or not, you're still setting a precedent for those after you. And so, you know, people always are asking, what do you want to do? Like, what do you want to do next? And like, I have no clue. I don't even think about it. I never think about what I want to do next. But like right now, I'm always just like, I want to master the role that I'm in right now. Because I know that if I can excel in the role that I'm in, if they can see that, you know, a woman can be in this role, you know, specifically too, like I am a Black woman in this role. Like if I can succeed in this role, then hopefully it will open up a path for people after me. And not only people after me, people around me, you know, like maybe they can get promotions, like, you know, that they can switch over to basketball operations. They can work in a front office.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that's what I'm always thinking about. Just like as a woman, you know, like just realizing like, again, like you're as good as the boys, like advocate for yourself and remember to have fun. Cause I love to have fun. So yeah. That's what I'm thinking.
And I think you pointed out something really important too, is, you know, a lot of times, and I even saw this with the whole, you know, the NCAA tournament with the women's basketball weight rooms and all that madness. But this, you know, when people speak out about opportunities for women or wanting to just have women be seen as equals and capable and deserving of the same opportunities, there's this idea that like, oh, but they're not as qualified. Like no one as qualified wants the opportunity, or they're not going to use the locker room. But it's like, you right. don't even know if those people can't get in the door. Like if the ladies can't get in the door of these sports teams or can't get in the door of these opportunities, then how would you know? And, you know, I think of that in a context of the work that I do. If women in technology aren't getting the same opportunities to speak to certain, you know, VCs or to go after certain opportunities or be in certain positions, how do you know that someone is or isn't qualified? And, you know, all we want is just the equal opportunities and the equal access to open that door and say, this is the resume, I deserve to be here. Like, let's do what we got to do.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I agree.
We just want to succeed like everyone else. But you know, that again is why I love social media, because that gives the opportunity to tell these stories. You know, it's so cool to know that my little cousins are growing up for the most part in a world where they really won't have to wonder if someone who looks like them, male or female, has been in a certain position, because they're probably going to see it on TV or see it on social media. It's like, okay, I want to be at the Oval Office. Well, we're not there yet, but vice president, you know, they can do that. President, eventually we're going to get there. In sports, in tech, on the moon, like all these different things. It's just the expansion of access to information and to seeing so many different stories is like a beautiful thing. And I just adore that.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, and you know, for me, you know, I've always just, you know, I've always had this like underdog mentality. You know, I am small too, like literally, I'm literally 5'4" and small. So, but you know, I've always had this, I guess I've just always had this like spark about me that, you know, like I'm going to be just as good as the person next to me. And you know, like I'm a girl from Baltimore. I mean, this doesn't always happen, you know, for people, from Baltimore, and I'm always proud of it. I say it everywhere I go. Like, my home city means so much to me. And, you know, that's one of the things that's so important for me as well, is like, just to be able to show like people from Baltimore can do this too. And even every step of the way, you know, I might not have been the top candidate, or I might not have been, but I'm going to I can prove myself every time. And even getting recruited for lacrosse, like, I wasn't the top recruit, like, at Carolina. But I'm going to prove to you I'm still good enough to be here. And, like, you know, I can bring something else to the table that a lot of other people can't. And a lot of times I am, you know, throughout my career too, like, after college, like, I have been the only, or maybe one of two Black people in the room. And so, like, I've always had to learn how to navigate that. And it's not always easy, but it's needed and it's necessary. And, you know, eventually we can get to places where we're not.
Yeah.
So it's like, even in sports, it's just normal to be in sports.
And that's the summation of, you know, you mentioned how having fun is such a big component. And I think that what I am also teaching myself is, you know, if you get to a certain stage, if you achieve something, not always worrying about, oh, okay, like, what's the next step? Like, I want to just make sure I'm enjoying, just reveling in the opportunity. You know, I present in a meeting or I host a workshop, like, oh yes, I did so good. Like, I'm going to go celebrate because I did so good, and just enjoy the moment. Not thinking so much about, oh, what am I doing next? But just like, how do I make the most of the fun that I'm having, the things I'm learning, and really, like, nurture myself in the position that I'm in.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's crazy because I always look back and I think about, you know, you think about sport and I look at lacrosse, and you never could have told me that this little stick was going to change, like, the trajectory of my life. And honestly, like, the biggest reason I'm here is because of lacrosse. You know, when I was obviously playing, you know, three sports growing up, and then getting recruited to play lacrosse at Carolina, and being able to go to Carolina and have the network and support that I had there. And then after leaving there, you know, when I do go places, like, I do have it on my resume that I was a student athlete at the University of North Carolina. And, you know, no one ever guesses that I play lacrosse. Like, it's always the last thing someone says. But, you know, and I can appreciate that, but I just love that sports has allowed me to continue where I am now. And, you know, whether it was playing or at Maryland when I worked there, going back to University of North Carolina to work there, you know, being at Eastern or coaching lacrosse on the West Coast, and now being at the Pistons, like, you know, this power of sport and the power of sport that can change your life, I just think is so incredible. And that's why I think I'm even more passionate about what I do and what I'm able to do, because I just know how much, you know, sports can change someone's life. And it doesn't mean, like, sport necessarily of play, like, that you're playing. You can be involved in sports in some realm. Like, right now I don't play, but I'm able to still stay connected. So
yeah, absolutely. What are some ways that you're giving back? I know you touched a bit on the opportunity that you had to go to Garrison Forest and involvement within some organizations in Baltimore, but curious to learn more about how you're giving back as well.
Yeah, so honestly, right now it's so busy that I don't even know that I have free time. But one thing that I do try to do are any of these opportunities, for sure, right now while I'm in season. You know, again, like, that I can just talk about what it's like working in sports, talk about kind of my story and what people can do now. I think what I want to be able to do is figure out some ways to help people learn more about what the different areas or departments are within sport. I think that's a big passion piece for me, because I always think about, I wish I had known that. Not that I would change anything, because I think that I was very fortunate, but not everybody's as fortunate. And so I want to be able to reach the ones who have no idea. And how can they know about, you know, what the possibilities are for them? So then just, like, small, like, women in sport initiatives that are going on, or mentoring girls through just, like, different mentorship programs, I think is probably the biggest. But I think a passion piece that I'm just trying to figure out how to craft right now is being able to show women and girls what the different areas are that they can work in sports. I think it's important.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. I think, you know, just being able to, again, lift the lid off and say, okay, these are kind of the different parts of everything that's coming together and happening. And even, you know, identifying opportunities, like, is it the job site? Is it reaching out to someone? Is it LinkedIn? Like, what's the best way to reach someone and just say, I'm interested and I want to learn more about the opportunities that you have. Something that I have found that's worked for me that I love to do is just, even in a non-podcast context, you know, reaching out within my network, or if I have, you know, someone that I want to talk to, just saying, I'm really interested in learning about the work you're doing. Yeah. And I set up some time to talk with you.
Right. And I think the biggest thing that I do right now, you know, and it is hard because of my schedule, but I'm just committed to doing it. You know, I do have people who reach out often, whether LinkedIn or email or social media, who just want advice, or they're trying to get into the industry, or they just have a question or anything. And I really do try to respond to everyone. And, you know, a lot of times it's usually, do you have 15, 30 minutes that I can talk to you? And so trying to figure out each week how I can plug those in, you know, for me, those are the most special moments. So when I can do those one-on-ones with people, just to hear their story and like where they're trying to go, or a lot of times they don't know where they're trying to go. And we kind of have this conversation. I'm like, oh, well, did you know these are the different areas? And they're like, I didn't even know. And so I think those are my favorite, is being able to, you know, actually it's funny because someone had reached out to me on, I think it was LinkedIn, just as like, hey, can I talk to you? You know, would love to learn, you know, like how you got to where you are, what you're doing. And this is what I want to be able to do. And they would tell me what they want to do. And they text me today. And I think I talked to them about a couple months ago, text me today that they got a job with the NFL. And so it's like those moments that I'm like, you know, if I can help people like navigate or think about what they want to do, or like help them process, you know, what that could look like. Okay. You like those things. Well, you know, I might have a like higher view level of thinking of like, okay, if you like doing those things, I know that you could do this, and you probably don't realize that that's an extra job you could do.
Right. Yeah.
I think that's my favorite way to give back, is to being able to have those like one-on-ones with people every week.
Yeah. Well, I know they appreciate it, because I always appreciate whenever anyone takes time to speak with me. I'm like, yep, taking notes, writing it down. I know exactly, you know, what the next steps are. And you know, something else that I've been thinking about too is, as I do more within the sports world, and as lacrosse kind of, I branch off and do even more opportunities and grab, you know, all these different things, have my show with ESPN now, how do I make sure I keep lacrosse or keep sports in general fun? So how do you keep basketball fun for yourself when it is now, you know, your day-to-day and a really big part of your professional life?
For sure. Yeah, I, you know, again, like I think one of them, I go back to, I work with a great group of people. And so, you know, that's number one. You spend a lot of time together. So if you don't enjoy the people around you, that's going to make it very difficult. So I'm very fortunate to have a great group at the Pistons, who just make it fun in general. Yeah. And then, you know, again, like, I think I'm always thinking about, you know, this doesn't just happen. Like, this doesn't happen to everyone. You know, there's only, you know, a certain amount of teams in the NBA. So there's very few opportunities for people to, you know, be in, whether it's my role or a role within a team. And so just remembering, like, this is an opportunity that doesn't just happen. And you got to enjoy it. You know, sometimes like I can be very like, because, you know, I want to make sure everything's right and like excellence all the time. You know, you still have all those like athlete mentalities. Gotta be the best. But yeah, I try to like still have fun. And you know, my friends, my family will tell you I'm still the one who like still loves to have a good time. And you know, I try not to take stuff too seriously all the time. But yeah, you know, I try to bring energy and like a spark wherever I go. So yeah.
I'll keep that in mind. Like, I want to succeed. I want to do all the things. I want to be the best, be number one, but also don't want to lose ever passion for the sport or passion for sports in general. But I think, you know, just the landscape of sports and the nature of sports themselves being so hype already, and it being a recreational activity in itself, I don't think that'll ever happen. So I'll cross my fingers and always try to retain that enjoyment and kind of the natural enjoyment of the sport in itself.
For sure. I mean, just enjoy the process. Like, you know, sometimes we're thinking so much about the job, the this, the that, like what about and shoulda, coulda, like enjoy the process. Like, what happened today? Like, what happened today that you were like, you know what? Like that in that moment, like that was super lit. And like every day I'm trying to remind myself of, oh yeah, remember when that happened today? Like that was amazing. Or, you know, I try to take time, like now sometimes I have to, you know, even if you put on the calendar, like I take time to not be doing something like necessarily work related per se. Like maybe it's going downstairs and like chopping it up with some of the guys, you know, just in the hallway, or, you know, just sitting down in the gym or whatever, so that I'm not always like work, 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 work.
Yeah.
But
absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, this has been a very, very enlightening and like soul affirming conversation. You know, it's just so cool to be able to sit down and speak with you about not only your journey, but the career, the impact, and then, you know, ways that I think this will be really helpful for others to know that there are different avenues to get to a certain destination that they're looking for. I think the final question that I would have is, for someone that's listening, what advice do you have for them if they want to enter the world of sports from kind of any, you know, any degree or any walk of life or any kind of outside thing that they were doing before pivoting to sports?
Yeah. So I think the first thing I would say is like, identify or understand that your skills can be transferable. So, you know, a lot of people say, well, I didn't work in sports, I can't work in sports. Well, that's not true. So that would be the first thing, is like understanding and identifying that you have transferable skills. The second would be to network. Now, I hate that word, just for the record, but you know, reach out to people that maybe you see in the sports world, or maybe that have a path maybe similar to yours, you know, and ask them for some of their time. Now, when you ask for time, be very specific on what you're looking for in the time. So if you're looking to learn what they do, if you're looking for, if they have any internships or any positions, like if you're looking, so just like, I would be specific in why you are reaching out. And then the third, you know, I always say, you know, you don't always have to come in the job that you want. Not that you can't get the job that you want, but sometimes, like for me, I never thought that I was going to come in and be a major gift assistant, or I never thought I was going to work in a nonprofit when I first graduated. But there's beauty in that process. Because what you will learn over time is just preparing you for the next position. And so don't think about it as, I'm gonna go be the director of, you know, content at this team, or I wanna be the head of, or even if it's like an assistant role. Like, don't necessarily think about it in the role, but think about it in what you wanna do, what you're trying to gain, what things you wanna be able to work on, or projects you wanna work on, and then kind of go from there. So those are probably, I guess, like the biggest three on if you want to get into sports. And then I think in general, like I already touched on it, but I'm just a big proponent of it. Like, just always remember, you're just as good as the boys. And, you know, like, don't always think like, oh, I don't have the experience to do that. Mm-hmm. Be able to advocate for yourself. And then you always still have to have fun.
That's my biggest takeaway. Advocate for yourself and have fun. Try not to get too bogged down. But Britta, thank you so much for taking time to chat with me, chat with the people listening. I can't share this. And yeah, thank you so much, everyone, for listening. And I will catch you next time on Shooting Space.
IL Women Podcast, the source of her sport.